But you know, I find God's people sometimes. Now, this is not Bethany. We're talking about them other churches. We're talking about other Baptist churches. You're coming in and saying, you know, man, I listened to so-and-so. Man, they just bless my heart. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, really? You know, then I have to gently guide them back and say, now, don't you know? Haven't you heard? See, get rooted and grounded in the doctrine of who God is. Know who Christ is. Know who the Holy Spirit is. Know what the church is all about. Know what the Bible is all about. Know about the Trinity. Now, I'm not talking about getting deep and being a theologian. I'm just talking about having some basic understandings that there's one God and there's three persons, and that when somebody comes up and to you and tell you that Jesus was a prophet, and you know, now, you know what I told the people the other night? I said, you know what? Sometimes you got to watch it when people start talking about God. Because a lot of people are talking about God, but see, what I do is I, okay, now what God are you talking about?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Belt of Truth. So let Glaze for the conclusion of The Belt of Truth.
Are dealing with addictions. I can deal with folks who are dealing with financial struggles. But the one thing that I have a problem with is a liar. I just have a problem with a liar. Because, you know, it don't cost anything to be honest and tell the truth. And when you lie, you're being sucked up by the devil. And so that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, stand therefore having your loins girded about with the truth. Now, when you think of being girded, the idea of being girded means to be ready. You remember when God got ready to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he was getting ready to move them out. He said, when you eat the Passover, what did he say? Gird up your loins. Be ready. Jesus told the disciples that I'm coming back again, and you need to gird yourself up. You need to be ready. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. One of the things that I have a hard time understanding, I just have a hard time understanding this, and maybe somebody can explain it to me. I've tried to figure it out, you know, without staring too much, but I can't figure out how the brothers have their pants, like, right down here. And they keep walking. Somebody, you know, not right now, but after service, somebody please come and explain that to me. I'm not criticizing right now. I'm not saying that it's wrong right now. I just want to know how you do that. How do you do that? And then if you got to get up in the wind, what? I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. So what Paul was saying here, basically, to put it in terms that we can understand, pull up your pants. Pull up your pants. Why? Because you never know when you're going to have to run. I wonder how many brothers got busted because they had their pants down. And they just couldn't get away. So what Paul was saying here, gird them up, pull them up. You can't be flapping in the wind. You know, you got to pull your testimony together. You got a purpose in your heart that you're not going to be open to deceit, deception, hypocrisy, and lies. You got to pull it up. You got to gird it up. Paul said, be ready. Gird yourself with the truth. And you know the thing that absolutely blows me away is that when you think about, you know, the whole idea where he says having your loins, this is a deep word. This word, loins, is a very interesting word. God told Jacob, he said, out of you shall come many kings. Listen to this. And out of your loins shall come many descendants. In the Old Testament, as you read, when people got in close-to-close contact, notice what they didn't do. If they had a sword, they didn't try to chop off their head. They didn't try to stick them in the heart. Most of the time in the Old Testament, remember in the book of Judges when Ehud, who was a judge, went up and tried to kill the king. What did he do? He went up to him and hit him right in here. Hit him right in the loins, because that is a vulnerable place. Think about the loins. Just think about the loins for a second. That's where most, other than your heart and your brain, that's where some of your major vital organs are. A lot of times that people get cancer, they get attacked where at? Right in the loins. And Paul said, Satan, sometimes he's just going right for your loins. And when he can get you to be tripped up with a lie, and when he can get you to fall and get into deceit and hypocrisy, where is he hitting you at? He's hitting you right there. And if you got your pants drooping, he's going to get you. Every time, he's going to get you. You know, Paul lived in a culture where both the men and women wore these flowing garments. And oftentimes, when it came time to get serious and when it came time to do battle, they had to pull it together. They couldn't run around flapping in the wind. They had to pull that thing together and be tight. And Paul says here, he says that the enemy is coming and that you need to gird up the loins. You need to be walking in the truth. You need to stay away from all type of satanic lies. You need to leave him alone, because he's coming after you. Unless you're prepared to deal with him, he's going to get you every time. The preparation for the villain. And then we see the protection for the vulnerable. And I already alluded to that a little bit, and that is the whole idea of the loins. When the believer is girded about with truth, his most vulnerable areas are protected. The loins are the very vulnerable area. It is an area which contains many of our vital internal functions, including our reproductive organs. If one wanted to land a fatal blow, the loins would be a strategic place to inflict a wound. And when Satan wants to attack us, Satan attacks us at the heart of who we are. Satan attacks us in our loins. He hits us right here. Remember what I say? In the loins are the reproductive organs of the body. And they had to be protected. Your testimony. Your testimony is one of the only things that you have for sure. You can lose your house. You can lose your clothes, you can lose your car, you can lose even your family. But one thing that will stay with you throughout eternity is your testimony. And saints, we need to work at making sure we keep our testimony pure. You know, one of the things that scares me, I mean, as a minister, I'll be honest with you, one of the things that scares me is to know that the people of this church are looking to me as their spiritual leader. And I don't want to do anything. I mean, because I hear people say, "Pastor, you know, so-and-so listened to you on radio," and I'm glad to tell them that, you know, that's my pastor. And people invite people, "Come and hear my pastor." And man, that scares me, because I don't want to do anything to cause you as a member of this church, when they say Pastor Glaze, they have to do. Man, I don't want that, saints. And it's all that's within me. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I'm not going to say that I don't have struggles. But for the most part, my brothers and sisters, I want to make sure that I'm walking in the truth. I want to protect my testimony so that, and I realize first and foremost, because I love God, I want to have a good testimony. And I don't want to be a bad reflection on his name. But secondly, I don't want any of our members to have to walk in shame because their pastor has embarrassed them. This is my heart. And by the same token, you know, I have the opportunity to meet people from a lot of different places. And I hear people say things, and I hear people do things, and then they tell me, you know what they tell me? And then I go to this church. And then I go to that church. And in my mind, sometimes I get critical and I wonder, man, how can you go there and be doing the things that you do? And then you know what the Lord stops me in my tracks. You know what the Lord says? How do you know there's not people at Bethany that are doing the same thing that they're doing? Saints, I'm talking about your testimony today. Satan is going to hit you at the heart of who you are. Satan is going to hit you at your very being. And when he attacks you, he's not going a lot of time. We're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. But sometimes when Satan hits you, he's going right for the loins. He's trying to rob you. This is who you are. This is the truth of who you are. Your character, your personality, deep down inside of you is who you are. And if he can hit you right there and cause that to be filled with lies, then he's going to get you. He's got you. Because at that point, you've lost all credibility. You've lost your credibility. And so God calls us to be people of integrity. In the Greek language, the word hypocrite actually was used of an actor who portrayed many parts in a play. Now, because the actor couldn't change costumes and couldn't change roles, because they were doing something, they had to switch over real quick. You know what they did? They had masks. They would one time be behind this mask, and then one time they would be behind this mask. Then they would change masks. And so they got to be known as hypocrites because they were like actors who hid themselves behind the mask. And there are many Christians that say that they're Christians, but they're hiding behind a mask because they're letting Satan hit them right in the loins. I like what Bo Ford said when he came and preached one time. He said, if your walkie-walkie doesn't match your talkie-talkie, then you need the walkie-walkie like you talkie-talkie. And I said, man, how profound that is that we need to be lining up with the integrity, with the message of Christ. There was a father who was concerned that his son that was on drugs, and his son had just become a liar. He had just become a big, bold-faced liar. And, tell his dad he was going to do this and not change, and tell his dad he's going to do that. And the dad got concerned that the drugs were making his son a liar. And so we called the pastor over to come and talk to his son and to pray with his son. And while he was there, the phone rang. And the wife said, it's for you, honey. And he said, just tell him I'm not home. And the pastor looked at the man and he said, drugs didn't make your son a liar. You made him a liar. You made him a liar. See, we gotta watch who we are. We have to watch our testimony. Protection for the vulnerable. Society tells us, and Satan tells us, that there are no absolutes. They are saying that the Bible, it's just a relative book. It's relative to certain areas, it's relative to certain people. There are no absolutes. But you know what? To make a statement like that, you just contradicted yourself. When you say there are no absolutes, then you're making an absolute statement. But thank God that we do have an absolute. And Satan constantly attacks the truth. That's his job. Satan's job is to attack the truth. That's why, and I know that Bethany is not the only church that preaches the word. And I'm not just saying from Sunday, I'm just saying Sunday school, Bible Institute, all the other stuff. But you know what? I hear so many people, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble when I say this. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. But I hear so many people say, well, I need to be somewhere where I can praise and worship. I need to be able to get my praise and worship off. And I be thinking to myself, see, now, my first thing, I want to be somewhere where I can get the truth. Now, if praise and worship comes along with that, then praise God. But, we got this thing backwards. We want to praise, and I love to praise. Nobody loves to praise more than Pastor Glaze. I love putting my hand up, closing my eyes. Sometimes, like I said, man, if I'm sitting here or we're across the street, I'd be so focused and trying to concentrate. People come up and stand. I don't even know they're there. They got to tap on my shoulder or something because I'm trying to get my praise and worship on. So I believe in praise and worship. But I think that we have a movement today in the church where people are more concerned about praise and worship than they are about the truth. They're more concerned about, can I get my emotions built up, than whether I can get my soul fed. They're more concerned about how can I shout the roof off the place than how can I settle my roots in the Word of God. See, you know, we need to realize that that is a trick. That is a trick of the devil to distort the truth. And if he can get us, you know, sometimes Satan, he'll use good things in order to get us off track. I mean, praise and worship is a good thing. God is about praise and worship. But see, we get in praise and worship, and then we begin to accept and believe anything. And that's, you know, that's Satan. He comes with a lie. And so we need to have protection for the vulnerable. We need to have the loins girded up. And my final point this morning is this, is that we need to have power for the victory. Power for the victory. He says, having your loins girded about with truth. The truth spoken of here is objective and subjective. Objectively, it refers to the gospel and Bible doctrine. That's why you need to get rooted and grounded in doctrine so that you're not tossed about by every wind that comes along. If you're not rooted and grounded, Satan is just going to come in and he's going to cause you to be blown about. So you got to get rooted and grounded in doctrine and in the gospel. That's why we have Bible study. We have Sunday school. We have the Bible Institute. We have all these things where people can come and get rooted and grounded so that when the winds of error blow, that you're not swaying back and forth, but you've got your roots sunk down deep, and you can spot a lie quicker than quick. You can spot a lie as soon as it comes off the lips of somebody because you are rooted and grounded. You shouldn't have to call your pastor. You shouldn't have to call your Bible teacher and ask, is so-and-so teaching the truth? You shouldn't have to do that, because you should be so rooted in the truth that whenever something comes that don't sound right, you already know. No, we're not going down. You know, whoa, back that train up. We're not going down that track. You know, back it up. But you know, I find God's people sometimes. Now, this is not Bethany. We're talking about them other churches. We're talking about other Baptist churches. You're coming in and saying, you know, man, I listened to so-and-so. Man, they just bless my heart. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, really? You know, then I have to gently guide them back and say, now, don't you know? Haven't you heard? See, get rooted and grounded in the doctrine of who God is. Know who Christ is. Know who the Holy Spirit is. Know what the church is all about. Know what the Bible is all about. Know about the Trinity. Now, I'm not talking about getting deep and being a theologian. I'm just talking about having some basic understandings that there's one God and there's three persons, and that when somebody comes up and to you and tell you that Jesus was a prophet, and you know, now, you know what I told the people the other night? I said, you know what, sometimes you got to watch it when people start talking about God. A lot of people talking about God, but see, what I do is okay. Now, what God are you talking about? Tell me a little bit more about this God that you're talking about. Well, I believe that it's one God and three persons. I believe that Jesus Christ is fully. Oh, okay. Now we're going down the same road. We're saying the same thing. But now, if you're going to come and tell me that he was a man, or he was a good prophet, or if he was a good teacher, yeah, he was. But let's go a little bit further. You tell me that, well, he was a son of God. Let's go a little bit further. Well, you tell me that he was Mary's baby boy. Oh, let's go a little bit further. See, you know, listen, a lot of people stop short. And you know where that's from? That's right from Satan. Satan loves nothing more than to deceive people in the area of doctrine, or get you caught up chasing rabbits in a certain area so that you lose all concept of pursuing the truth. So not only that, but Satan subjectively, he attacks the believer's honesty, their sincerity, and their integrity. And we got to be careful, because Satan, when he gets us to fall, the Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. And a lot of times, All he'll do is just stand, look at you laying there, and laugh. That's why we got to be girded up. We got to gird ourselves up with the truth. And you know what? When you gird yourself up with the truth, and I'm going to close with this verse right here, Psalm 41 and verse 12, that when you gird yourself with the truth, Psalm 41 and verse 12, David says in verse 12, as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and settest me before thy face forever. David said that the Lord upholds him in his integrity. You know what that means? If you are a liar, if you are a deceiver, if you are a hypocrite, that God is not holding you up. Why is God going to hold up a liar? Now, you may experience, you know, the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. So you may be experiencing the reign of God, but you don't have this promise that David had. David said that God holds me up in my integrity. Let me ask you this question. If God protecting your life depended upon how much of a person of integrity you are, how well protected would you be? How well protected would you be? David had the confidence to say, hey, God holds me up according to my integrity. And if I'm a person of integrity that has on the girdle of truth, then God is going to continue to protect me and hold me up. But if I'm duplicitous and I'm a liar and I'm a schemer and I'm a conniver and I'm a person of deceit, you know, let's even take this, even outside the Bible, just common sense. When you do stuff like that, I would say even nature is against you. Nature doesn't support a liar. Hey, well, let's take God out of it. Even if there was no God, there was no Bible. It's wrong to lie. It's wrong to deceive. It's wrong to be a hypocrite. It's just flat wrong. So we need to see that. But thank God when we bring him into the picture, that he gives us a girdle to put on. And you know, we talk about spiritual warfare. See, we're going to make this. See, people, when you talk about spiritual warfare, they want to go out here and start casting out demons, and they want to be involved in all this eerie and mystic stuff. But let me tell you something. Let's be plain and simple about it. Why don't you start doing this before you start running after demons? Just start doing this right here. Yes. Why? I don't. You know, it kills me. You know, people want to have these ministries of the sensational, and we overlook the very basic truth. Start here, and then maybe once you master the armor, then maybe God will let you graduate from the BA of the armor of God to the master's degree of fighting with demons. Let's get this down right here. I got a feeling that none of us can graduate from this school right here. So we might not ever get to the other school. And the problem is we got too many people going to the other school and they haven't gone through this school. The first, put the truth on in your life. You know what? Let me finish, Holy Ghost. That will win a lot of battles for you, right? That will win a lot of battles for you right there. Just being a person of truth. You'll knock out maybe 25% of the battles that you have with the devil. What'd they say? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Tell the truth and shame the devil. The girdle of truth.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Breastplate of Righteousness from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Belt of Truth, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Belt of Truth. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Belt of Truth. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that you remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.